That's a big drive for the North Carolina defense.
That was the Capital One rewarding performance, and this is a rewarding run as Gavorian Barnes is out the gate, inside the 30, to the 10. Touchdown TCU, 75 yards and no flags.
That was literally Kirk Herbstreit as TCU is coming to the line of scrimmage for the first play from scrimmage of the second half. And he's like, and it's 20-7 at the time. You know, it's still a game. It's still a two-score game. And Herbstreit's like, it's a big drive for the North Carolina defense here. You know, you got to get off the field. And literally the first play, they hand it to the guy. He goes off tackle to the house. Doesn't even have to juke anybody. Just like it was a 75-yard sprint to the house.
It was a big drive for the UNC defense there.
Yeah.
That was the game. That was something big happened. Yeah.
He was right.
That was it. Yep.
He was right. So that's
Were there any positives to take from UNC's performance?
Well, their first drive was really nice. They like methodically went down the field 83 yards.
Yeah.
You know, that first drive. Look, we rooted for a team here in Houston, Seth, that for 2 years couldn't score anything on the opening drive with Bill O'Brien as the head coach. And Belichick did you see his play caller is Freddie Kitchens, the old Cleveland Browns coach.
Yeah.
They were able to draw up a nice drive to get seven. They were just not able to draw up anything else good. So I don't think so. If anything, they've probably got a quarterback controversy now. Brad Johnson's kid is the backup quarterback. He used to play at A&M, and he's the backup at UNC, and he actually came in and did some decent things in the second half. But I watched the whole game. There was not a lot of good for North Carolina in this game. There was a pick six. There were deep shots. Against them, just not good, man.
Who would you be more discouraged by if you're equally a fan as so many people are of Arch Manning and Bill Belichick? Which of those two do you still feel relatively optimistic about?
Honestly, kind of both of them. If I had to pick one, I would say Arch Manning. Because I think the level of competition, that might be the hardest team. I know they're in the SEC.
Yeah.
That might be the hardest game environment he's in all year long.
Well, and especially facing that defense with no film on it beforehand, especially, I can't go where Orlovsky is going and acting like missing simple throws is excusable because it's hard, because that defense was tough.
Yeah.
Like, no, at some point, you just got to stand up and not be a horrible quarterback. But it is understandable, and it is his first start. And everything, the infrastructure he has around him, regardless of however you feel about Sarkisian, it's much better than whatever Belichick's working with at UNC.
Well,
is that the actual talent that he has to work with?
There's a possibility with Belichick that does not exist with Arch Manning. And the possibility with Belichick is that he might either be checked out or will check out at some point and just collect his money and then just, you know, leave after a year, or that, you know, that he's lost his touch or whatever. Like Arch Manning, I'm guessing, is going to do everything he possibly can to live up to the expectations that everybody has for him out there.
Yeah, I guess I'd be really surprised if Belichick checked out emotionally or anything in the middle of the
season. I would too. No, but I'm saying there's a 0% chance I feel that happens with Arch Manning. Belichick's 73 years old. He might look around and go, okay, this ain't for me. This is a young man's game.
Yeah, but I guess that would be at the end of the season. You think he might do it during the season?
I don't know if he'd do it during the season. I'm just saying, you're asking me who I feel better about moving forward between those two. For this year.
Yeah, I meant for this season.
I think he could do it without announcing it. Like, I think they could be 2-7 in week 9 or 10, and he's not going to be the best version of himself the rest of the year. He's like, I got a 24-year-old rocket over here, man. I got $10 million bucks.
I guess I don't know. I have a hard time. I think people continually kind of try to treat Belichick like he's a normal person or something, and where he clearly isn't. I don't think he has that in him. Even if he might physiologically get more tired or something because he can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I would have a hard time just seeing him just packing in emotionally.
I would too. I'm not saying it's a favorite. I'm saying there's zero chance that happens with Arch Manning, and I'm saying there's a 2% chance that happens with Belichick.
Arch Manning could get benched.
Could get benched. Yeah, he could. Yeah. He could get benched. I doubt he will, but he could get benched. Yeah. So I would say, how about you? Who do you feel better about?
I feel better about Arch Manning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Look, it's not like I've been following UNC football closely for the last 4 years and can extol exactly why this is going to be the year that they break through or bust through. But it's just he's Belichick started off in the hole just by coaching at UNC.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as, you know, Harbaugh went to Stanford. Stanford gets a different level of recruits than UNC does already. So it was impressive what Harbaugh was able to do at Stanford, but he was doing it with guys like Andrew Luck and what have you.
Yeah.
And Belichick just doesn't have that. I mean, and he's responsible for recruiting and everything. It's just it's hard to envision a huge turnaround.
That conference, too. Like, if Florida State has actually turned it around like they did against Alabama, you got to go through them. Clemson looks – I know they lost to LSU, but they look more like the old Clemson than they have the last couple of years. So the conference gets a little harder maybe. We'll see. So this was a big topic in the game last night, Seth. Now, this was when the score was 41-14. So very few of us were still up watching this game. I'll admit that. But this was making the rounds on social media. Kirk Herbstreit got caught on a hot mic coming back from the break saying something that got people intrigued here. Again, the score is 41-14 at this point. Here is the broadcast coming back from break.
You're bad. Oh.
Fourth quarter starting here in Chapel Hill.
Okay. So it was construed as him saying, they're bad.
I thought he was it sounded to me like he was saying you're bad, like somebody just made a joke about something.
And that's what they're saying happened. That's what Herbstreit is saying happened. That's what the producer, their producer or their spotter or somebody who's up in the booth with them made some sort of joke. It's not been made clear what joke was made, but Herbstreit, play it one more time, Ben.
You're bad.
That sounds to me.
See, now people wanted to hear they're bad.
Yeah. Oh, and they heard they're bad?
Some people did. Some people did. You know, it's like that blue dress or gray dress thing going on. You know,
that sounds to me like somebody just said something about what they would do to one of the women in the crowd. that's where you're like, shut up. Yeah, come on. I'm wearing a suit here, man. I'm on a mic. We're back. Yeah.
I'm looking at the tweet that I pulled this from, posted 11 hours ago. So about the time that this was happening, Barstool Sports, quote, they're bad. Kirk Herbstreit caught on hot mic.
Really?
Yes.
And, like, he clearly says you're, right? Can you play that again?
You're bad.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, okay, but I can see why if you heard they're bad first, I can totally see that. Okay, one more time, Ben.
One more time, Ben.
You're bad.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What is that thing, the visual thing? It's a blue dress and the gold dress thing going on, right?
Yeah, it's like the old lady and the young, you know, when there's a silhouette, you see one side and that's what you see.
Yeah,
okay. All right, now I can hear both. Now that I've heard they're bad. Okay, one more time, Ben.
You're bad.
Well, Sean was laughing. One more time.
You're bad.
All right, that does sound more like they're bad.
Really?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay. Ben, it's
not clear enough, though, for me to say definitively one way or the other.
Right. Ben?
You're bad.
Oh, the dress is gold, man. It's a gold dress.
You're bad. They're bad. Oh.
That got a lot
I feel like the tone of voice is still like, you're bad. Like, you made a dirty joke.
I believe Kirk Herbstreit when he says that. You know.
That's either you made a really dirty joke or you said something like really clever but petty about something else.
Yeah.
That's what I'm usually saying during the petty cast when I'm kind of shocked by how petty you're being. I'm like, you're bad.
Yeah. You're bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it sounded so familiar. After further review, the play is confirmed. He said you're. That's a text.
Okay. I wonder if people are split on this.
Yeah. So far, two votes on the text page with you're. You're bad. I haven't gotten any there yet.
I think I'm falling down towards your bad, but I can totally see why people could have heard that as their bad.
Yeah. The lesson in all this is be careful. The mics are hot. You never know.
Yeah. Was there anybody? So during the game, other than that first drive, was there any point where you thought, oh, okay, well, you know what? With a few different bounces of the ball or something.
No.
Just they're bad.
Nope.
You agree with Herbstreit.
I agree with Herbstreit. I agree with the blue dress Herbstreit. Yes. They're bad. No, I had TCU. The spread was 3.5. I bought it down to 3 just in case it was a close game at the end. I even after the first drive, once TCU got, that was the first drive of the game. Once TCU got the ball and I watched them kind of operate, I don't even know if they scored on their first drive, TCU. I was not nervous at all. You could see what was happening in the trenches in that game, Seth. Mm-hmm. And you could see defensively, like, okay, this, they're not ready. This is not a Belichick. Yeah. This is not a Belichick defense. I was never concerned. Maybe after the first drive, because we had yet to see TCU get on the field. Mm-hmm. UNC just marches down and scores. I'm like, okay. This is kind of weekend I've been having. But then once I saw TCU get the ball, I'm like, nah, they'll be fine. They'll cover the three. I'm not worried.
Speaking of Herb Street, Lee Corso's final appearance on College Game Day drew 3.5 million viewers, which was the most watched game day ever.
Yeah.
The final 15 minutes of the show pulled in 5.1 million viewers. Yeah. What's did you watch the last 15 minutes?
I was at Boomer Jacks in Katy. I did. I was at a bar, so I was kind of watching it bar style. But yeah,
did he get emotional?
A lot of people did. Yeah,
did Herb Street cry?
I don't remember. Probably, okay. If I had to guess, he's a crier. He likes, you know, it's no.
I haven't
wrong
watched
with that.
Any of Corso's final appearance, mostly because I try to remain as dead inside as possible. So if I know something's emotional or something, I just like, I'm just not gonna touch that.
Again,
today.
I was in a bar and it was loud, and I'm just looking up at it. I'm not like, I wasn't in my chair like dialed into it, so I'm probably not a great person to ask. To me, again, the most remarkable thing is that. It was on. They carried it on both of the pregame shows, the Fox pregame show and the ESPN pregame show.
Which I feel like ESPN giving them permission to do that. I don't think they needed to do that. They should have said, no, this is our property. That 5.1 million viewers could have been like 6.1 million.
I was about to say, I'm like, they drew 5.1 million.
Yeah. I mean, what, are we going to stop being petty as television executives or something? No. You keep your dirty grubs off of our intellectual property. You're not allowed to simulcast the Lee Corso, the final showing of Lee Corso.
They should have done a trade. They should have said, we'll let you simulcast all the Dave Portnoy bits where he's yelling at Ohio State fans.
Yeah.
And you let us simulcast Lee Corso's last segment.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. Should have been a transaction.
Suits. They're such idiots.
Sorry, but I'm glad Corso is not on anymore. He's done with game day, right? He's been needing to retire for a long time. It's been painful. Again, sorry. Well, you don't need to apologize to us. He hasn't had his fastball in a long, long time, but I think they've done a decent job of carrying him. I think we know what Lee Corso is and has been. He's there to entertain. He says it himself. It's about entertainment, baby, and he's there to do his mascot head thing and do the not so fast, my friend, and point a pencil at Pat McAfee.
Look, knowing full well that I one day will succumb to this very logic that I'm about to present, or this argument I'm about to present, is that once you start losing your fastball as a broadcaster, boot him the hell off my television. That's how I feel about it. That's
really?
How sentimental I am. Put him out on the ice floe. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I think it's people writing angry letters to the editor of like, you better not fire this old guy or something. Like, no, someday all the guys who are my age will be old men that'll be upset that I got fired or something.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them. We'll all go meet at a McDonald's and I'll do 15 minutes of sport talk in the morning. They're like, no, that was the right decision.
I was
old and ineffective and the youngs didn't like me.
You're
so that was the right thing to do.
Throw your fastball and it's going to be 38 miles an hour. And like, see?
I'm gonna tear my UCL while I do it.
That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Tuesday. D'Amico Ryan's challenge to his team in 2025. He talked about that yesterday. We'll hear from the Texans head coach. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop, question of the day, all that good stuff as well.